Yes. So, welcome everybody to our Divine Alchemy class. Today is March 20th. It was very interesting morning. We're definitely having these major shifts, timeline shifts. And I woke up this morning again for the second day in a row, and I knew it was Thursday. Planned for Thursday to be today, yesterday. So I knew today was Thursday. And I logged into my computer, and my computer was on Wednesday. So I had to do some double checking and make sure that my internal computer was right and that we were on Thursday, and then get my computer online with being on Thursday, which was interesting to me. And I thought, that's really indicative of these timelines splitting and shifting, and the energies are a little chaotic and transient and stuck and whatnot. So it's kind of fitting for the energies that we're in. Loretta's saying a friend of hers texted her and said, "Happy Friday." Obviously, it's not Friday. But my point being is we none of us in the community, I don't think. I don't think I have any astrologers in the community. Otherwise, I'd be looking for them to come forward and kind of share what they have to offer. I am versed in astrology, which is why we talk about it, because I do have knowledge of it, but I'm not an astrologer. But I could tell you that the interplanetary alignments that we're having are strongly Aries right now, which is fire, which moves us forward. Right, it blazes a trail. It's very fast moving. If you know anybody that's Aries, if hopefully they don't have a lot of fire in their chart, because they can get very emotional from like 1 to 100 very, very quickly over something, and then takes a while to kind of calm them down. So it's very interesting dynamic, but we are very heavy energy in Aries. Aries is in a lot of planetary placements right now, working with different planetary energies, along with Pisces. And because of the dynamic of this, the energies, because Pisces energy is very Neptunian energy. And Neptune is our intuition. But Neptune is also the fog that makes things unclear, uncertain, right? So when we can't see a path, or we can't feel into something that we're trying to get done, or something that we're trying to create, and we can't feel into it, it might be because we are strongly in Neptunian energy. And when I say Neptune is interplaying with us, it's like having rose-colored glasses on. So you're not seeing the truth of what is. You're kind of in a mystical fog to what is, and we kind of have to wait for that fog to clear. So that's kind of what's happening right now. We have a lot of different things. We had the lunar eclipse, which was a total lunar eclipse. We had that in the sign of Virgo, right? And then we had a minor event on the 19th. We have today is the equinox, right? So it's and today, for the first time in a long time, it's on the 20th. And if you think about the equinox is about balance, right? So what does the number two in numerology represent? Balance and harmony. It's when night and day are equal, right? And we can almost look and think back to as above, so below. So it's very fitting for this energy to be of balance, right? Asking us to find our balance in these heavy duty energies. And I don't want to bore you all with the contents of the astrological lineup, but it is important to understand what is taking place so that we can see from our own perspective and what's taking place in our lives, how we might be able to use these energies a little better to help move us forward. And the importance of knowing that Aries is very key right now, very key player in these energies, is that Aries is the first sign of the astrological chart, right? And so we can look at Aries and be like, well, we are in new beginnings. And Aries, after it does its thing for a little bit, is about to go into 0 degrees of itself, which means that we are going to be starting over, right? Getting a refresh, getting a reboot. If you think about your computer, a clean sweep, right? So this is very important to understand. It's a very important time for us. And all the while that this is happening, on March 2nd, and we talked about this a little bit in the other class, we went into Venus retrograde. Now, Venus is love, it's the heart, it's matters of the heart, right? And that retrograde period is a 40-day stint. It's 40 days and 40 nights of coming into our heart, coming into our oneness. And we're going to be talking about that a little bit today, too, in order to help us find our path. So, one of the things that we have coming up tomorrow is we have the ending of something called the Kali Yuga cycle. Okay. And if you know anything about astrology, you know that there's Western astrology and then there is Vedic astrology. And Vedic astrology is very, very different than our normal, our astrology that we know, right? Because it's all very valid. But on the Vedic side of things, they use different cycles, and their cycles are yuga cycles, which I think happens like every, I wrote this down, every 25,800 years, right? It's a cycle of renewal and rebirth. And interestingly enough, the ending of this Kali Yuga cycle, when I looked at the numbers of astrological numbers, that is, 2, 5, and 8, which is 25,800 years, 2, 5, and 8 breaks down into 15. And like 15 is the number of the high priestess, right? It's divine feminine, like the divinely divine feminine, the high priestess number. But 1 and 5 is also 6. And 6 is the number of love and community and communication. And so when you think about that, and you think about this being a 9 year coming into our cycle of endings this particular year, which we're already seeing, you know, through all of the breaking down that's taking place in the outer reality, through the government factions, like, you know, the medical industry is going to really start to shift and change. The education system's already being dismantled. We're going to see it across the board with the financial systems. A lot of changes to our infrastructure with taxation, right? And all of that. We're going to see all of that changing. And when is that happening? It's happening now. It's in a 9 year, right? Endings, so that we can have these culminations, these finalizations, so that we can come into expansion, which is also the number 9. And the number 9 brings us into the number 10 or 1, which is going to be next year, which is going to be a year of renewal and rebirthing. So this year is asking us to shed the layers of what's no longer working, right? Shed out what is not in our highest best good anymore. And so we are also having this retrograde period, this Mercury retrograde, and it's retrograding in the sign of Aries, right? And so it's asking us to slow down. Aries wants us to just fire forward, right? Aries is the shoot first, ask questions later. Like, I don't care, let's just go, right? But Mercury is like, wait, we have to do some planning first. We have to do some preparations first. We can't just take the gun out and start shooting, right? We have to figure this out first because maybe there'll be some innocent bystanders there and we don't want to shoot just to shoot and have to clean up the mess later, right? So Mercury is trying to get us to pay attention to the most important things that are wanting to happen in our life in order to evolve us forward. Okay, that's what that brought this process is all about. So it's because of Mercury's energy and how Mercury interplays in the signs, right? It's a great time for introspection. Now we have Venus retrograde. A retrograde is also a time for slowing down, right? Mercury is retrograde, and Mercury is the planet of communication. It's asking us to slow down in our thinking patterns, slow down in your habits of communication, slow down with, the things that you want to write and send to people. Somebody maybe have done something to you, you want to send them an email. Don't do that right away. Take a few minutes to think about it. Take a couple of days to think about it. Maybe don't write it and send it at all. Is it really important to get that point across? Sometimes it's just not, right? Sometimes we have to just move on. And so these retrogrades, both Venus and Mercury, are wanting us to do this deeper introspection. We have all of these planetary actions happening at this particular point in time, asking us for the next couple of weeks, just go within, right? Like, let's go within. Let's look at what's cooking there. Let's see what needs our attention there. And at the same time that we're identifying what needs our attention on a personal level so that we can move forward, we can amplify our state of being because it's not about anything out there or anybody out there, right? It's about us and living our best life and moving forward in the way that is going to amplify our state of being. Have patience and allow yourself to come from a place of compassion for yourself first and then for others. And at the same time, because Aries is so supercharged, stay out of conflicts, right? If somebody else is having a moment of disgruntlement with something somebody's done, don't feel like you have to get involved and champion the cause. Let them figure it out because it might be something that they have to resolve within themselves. Okay, sometimes we want to get involved in something and it's not ours to do. Okay, so we have to find our patience with that. So today is the equinox. We just talked about finding patience. And that means balance, right? We have to be in balance and harmony. So we can use these energies of the equinox in order to help us with that. So maybe a little bit of meditating today, maybe a little bit of reflective journaling would be good. Looking at life, where you are in life, and saying, where can I bring more balance in? Or what do I need to harmonize more in my life so that I could be in better flow? Okay, and that's really important because it's also a big part of this is about our growth and our renewal. This 9 year is a year of endings. What comes after an ending? A renewal, right? We're having something new transpiring in our life. We're having an opportunity or a moment of growth, but we can't get to that growth if we're not looking at things that we can let go of, or we can move on from, right? At whether that's people, places, and things, it doesn't matter. Okay. So find the serenity and the peace. And what's interesting about those two words, serenity and peace, is the last couple of days in my travels, sometimes not going anywhere except outside to just sit and just be present, and taking both lasagna and Bella outside and just sitting in between sessions and just giving them a break for whatever, half an hour, started to really see that I am experiencing a state of serenity and peace. I'm finding myself experiencing myself for the first time ever, because I'm not having to be pledged to a service or servitude of another, right? And that is aligned with having separated myself from my living situation with Beth. And in that situation, although it wasn't a relationship, it was a friendship, I had the responsibility of cooking, and I charged myself with that responsibility because I didn't love the way she cooked. So I was taking on the responsibility of doing the cooking for the both of us, because it was in my best interest. But now I'm starting to realize, through having this downtime with myself, I mean, even while Joe was here, right? Joe was responsible for himself, and I was responsible for myself. And unless we were making a meal and we were both like, hey, you feel like having this today? Yeah, I'm going to make it. Okay, I'll cook it, whatever. Which only happened twice in the 2 weeks that I was here with him. I'm realizing that a lot of those foods that I was cooking were not even like my foods, right? And the foods that really make me happy, or what I enjoy eating. And in the 2 weeks that I've been here, because I'm starting to remember the foods that make my body feel harmonized, I've actually lost like 3 or 4 pounds, because I'm harmonizing with my true self, right? And I'm no longer in the energy field of someone else, and no longer carrying that energy in my field. So this is really important and a key aspect of the time that we're in, because when we're carrying others, and I know many of you out there are, in relationships, have children, have responsibilities to others and everything. When we're in those responsibilities, sometimes we forget to tune in to ourselves. We forget to check in with ourselves and ask ourselves, what feels good to me? What makes me feel good? What makes me feel happy? What harmonizes me, right? What amplifies my state of joy? Okay. And so if we're not seeking that out, that would be a good experiment to do now during this time, especially because we're in such a heavy retrograde period where we are in a state of deeper self-reflection. Okay, now I know many of you are already on that path where you're able to identify what it is that makes you happy, what it is that keeps you in flow and harmony. But I also know that there's many of you out there that are uncertain, and we're in a state where I was in, where we were subject to our focus being and our attention being on another's well-being, because we're in a state of service, and that service compass was pointed away from ourselves. It was pointed to the outside. It wasn't pointed internal. Okay. So that's one of the things that this time period is asking us to do. It's asking us to, come back into our oneness, into our state of one. Write down the word serenity and inner peace. And then for each word, right, for serenity, write out, what does that feel like for you? What does that feel like? What does that mean? What does inner peace mean to you? Okay. And write that down. Just take some time and meditate on it to see what that feels like. And then when you have written it, maybe step away from it and don't read it right away and go back to it a day or two or three later and then see what you wrote. And then see if you're in alignment with that. Are you harmonized with that? Right? Because I didn't realize until I came here how out of alignment with my true self I was. Now, I am mostly in alignment, but I was still out of alignment with my true self. And it was very interesting for me to be able to have that awareness to that, right? And it has a lot to do with the fact that I didn't come into this house and set up the whole house and then have to manage the whole house. And it has all of my stuff in it, right? We've talked about that in the last gathering. I came in, set up my stuff in my bedroom, my art supplies in my bedroom. And what that did was that gave me a lot of freedom. It freed me from my stuff. And I was having this conversation the other day stating that, like, if I don't go past the storage unit, which I do on my way into town, but if I don't go past it, I don't remember I have one. Right. I'm sure I'm going to remember I have one in a couple of days when they charge my credit card again for the storage unit. But if I don't go past it, I don't remember that I have one. All that stuff that's in the storage unit is just that. It's stuff. It was stuff. And whether it was stuff that made me feel my self-worth or made me feel contentment. That made me feel like, my inner being was satisfied because I had my stuff. Now I'm looking at it going like, what if I got rid of my stuff? Like, what if I got rid of most of it and I don't need it anymore? And a lot of the art supplies that are in there are probably stuff, I mean, most of it's pastel stuff and ink stuff and what could probably go in the garage. But if I sold off my furniture, what would that be like to be limitless, to be boundless, right? Like I'm not tied to anything. I'm not tied to my furniture anymore. I'm not tied to anything. And then that got me thinking a little further into that, going like, I drive around here and I mean, I'm super rural here. Okay. It's very, very rural. My next door neighbor is not like right next door. It's acres between us, like an acre, 2 acres, 3 acres, a property wide. And then, of course, whatever's deep, I can't even see my backyard neighbor, right? The guy that lives behind the house here. I can't even see him because there's like 3 acres back there or 4 acres back there. I don't see anybody, right? And then he's got 5 acres. The guy behind has 5 acres. So between us, if he's got 4 acres in the back, I have 4 acres. That's 8 acres between the two of us. I'm not going to see him unless I walk all the way back there, right? And try to find him. So I don't even see him. And it got me to thinking. What would that be like? I see people on Instagram all the time with those motor coaches, those little minivans that they travel around the country and everything. They're living out of their van. Not that I want to do that, but it did start me thinking about that. And I was like, what would that be like? How freeing would that be? That would be like almost being limitless, right? Like you have that freedom to just move around and not be tied to anything, not be tied to a house, no responsibilities, no electric bills. I probably still have some kind of internet bill or something like that. But it was very liberating to have these thoughts and then come back into the idea of, the possibility of buying a house. And then thinking, like, what would that be like? What would that look like? How would that be? What would I need? What would I want? So there's a lot at play here. And I think if we free ourselves for just a bit, go on a walking meditation, right? Or however you can get away, even just a regular meditation to sit and free yourself and really think about that. Like, what would it be? What would it be like to not have that responsibility, to not have the responsibilities? Who would I be? What would I want to do? What do I want to do with my life? Like, what would my work look like? Right? Right now, I have the community, I have my one-on-one sessions. I'm still doing the herbal stuff, which though the business is going to close in September and then officially close, the corporation's going to get disbanded in November. But I'm already looking at that going like, okay, what does that look like? What do I want that next phase to be like, right? And I can't see it, so I have to let it come in. It was kind of like me coming to Florida. I couldn't see where the move was going to be. I kind of had to let it come in. If Joe was trying to get me here the last 3 years to come down, come down, come down. You'll love it. You'll love it. You'll love it. I was like, no, I hate Florida. I don't want to be there. And I love it. I love it here. I really do. I haven't met one person I didn't like. The next door neighbor shocked me and bought me over a plate of cookies that she made. I'm like, who does that anymore? I mean, that's like, Leave It to Beaver stuff, right? So I manifested that though in my letting go and not having to have a picture of what it was going to look like or how it was going to feel when I got here, right? And it's all the manifestation of it. And the beautiful thing about these energies, and when we know about the energies and we know how we can navigate the energies and work with them, we can create through the manifestation. Now, that is clearly abundance, right? Somebody comes over and gives me homemade cookies. I am abundant. And it's as simple as that. Yesterday, Joe has a customer who comes over and he gives her the deer's remains when he processes a deer. I don't think he's going to be doing that anymore because I think his processing days are done now that he's in the academy. But she came over to meet me. She's interested in the herbal stuff and what I do and everything. And she had given Joe a small container of tallow body butter for me a while back. And when I said to Joe, did you have a text her and thank her for me? He was like, oh my gosh, I forgot. So he texted the two of us, hooked us up. She was like, I'd love to come by and meet you. I'm like, yeah, come on over, come meet me. She's like, I have so many questions. I'd love to just like pick your brain. I'm like, yeah, I'm off in the morning on Wednesday and then I'm working the afternoon. So if you want to come like 10 or 10:30 is perfect. She walked in the door with this huge container, of tallow body butter. She was like, I just made this. And she's like, I'm so mad at myself because I left the homemade soap that I make, because she makes soap. I left that home. I forgot to bring it with me. So I'll have to bring it with me the next time I come back. Right? So we see abundance happening, but not necessarily the abundance in the money, right? Like it doesn't have to be money abundance. But abundance is definitely happening. So where are we able to manifest our best life that we're in flow and harmonizing in a way that we're bringing whatever is needed by us to us without having to go out there and get it, right? Both people showed up on my doorstep. I didn't go to them. They came to me. I didn't ask them for anything. They just bought it because it was in vibrational harmony, right? And then, of course, I gave Julie product, which she was not expecting because she didn't even know like I physically made product, because Joe didn't tell her anything about that. He just said I was an herbalist and a spiritual life coach, you know? So we have this opening for abundance right now, like we manifesting the things that we truly desire and what's in our life path, right? So Why is this possible? We ask. Well, if we go back and look at Kali Yuga, which is ending the cycle tomorrow, tomorrow is the 21st, and according to the Vedic astrology, it ends the 25,800 year cycle that is the Kali Yuga cycle, right? Because there's many Yuga cycles, and now we go, according to Vedic astrology, into a new Yuga cycle. Because they can be thousands and thousands of years long, the Kali Yuga cycle is the most challenging cycle of all of the Yuga cycles because this particular cycle is filled with oppression, conflict, friction, opposition, repression, right? External conflict. And the way that this Kali Yuga cycle operates is to have more external conflict, more push, force, action than any of the other yuga cycles. Now, if you think about that in relation to where we are with the Golden Age and coming into the Golden Age, and the fact that we're leaving the Piscean Age of repression, right? Because every 26,000 years in our cycle, and you could see how it's almost 25,800 years in the Yuga cycles, right? So it lines right up. We're leaving that as we've moved, and this happened last year, right? Anchored into Pluto, into Aquarius, coming into the Golden Age as we leave the lead age of the Piscean era. This synchronicities here as we are ending the challenges, the difficulty, the need to, climb and fight and scrape our way to the top is all coming to the to an end. And it's all happening at once. It's all collapsing at once. And the most important thing about knowing all of this is that when we can stay in a higher aligned state, when we can focus ourselves on what is good, right? What is healing, what is nurturing to us. Like if you know you're someone who absolutely must go for a walk every day, then no matter what, you have to push yourself to go for that walk because it's nourishing for you. But if we don't do that and we let something get in our way, then we have done a disservice to ourself in light of serving something else or serving another. Do you see? So this is really wanting us to honor the soul at a deeper level, right? So it's And because of the nature of what's taking place and how big these changes are, and that this is non-astrology class, there's so many different changes happening that, like, it would take us a long time to discuss all of it. And it might be a little bit boring to you because it's very astrologically based and planetary aligned, right? So we're just touching on what I believe to be the most important parts of this. And so, one of the final things, and we did talk about this in the very beginning, was that Neptune and Saturn are moving into Aries, right? Neptune is the rose-colored glasses. It's the when we go very Neptunian energy, things can be foggy looking. There's not a lot of clarity. We can't figure things out. We can't see things clearly. Our intuition is feeling frosted over, fogged over, right? We kind of have to just sit back and we have to be patient. That's Neptune. But then we have Saturn moving into Aries too. And Saturn is the taskmaster. It's like the boss with the whip, cracking the whip, going like, come on, let's get going, let's get moving, right? So Aries, in a sense, likes that because Aries is fiery. It wants to go, wants to move, right? But then Neptune comes along and throws a rose-colored glasses on Aries, and Aries is like, wait, I can't see where I'm going. I'm just going to start shooting, but even though I can't see, like I'm just going to start shooting, right? And so we have to be careful that we're not playing into that type of energy, because we don't want to create a scenario that we are creating conflict, because in creating conflict, that would be karma. And we want to be done with the creation of karma, right? So we're choosing not to do that. So the interesting thing about this is this hasn't happened where the two of them, where Neptune and Saturn are both in Aries, for 12,000 years. Right? Another big event. Like we're talking about thousands of years, like thousands of years. And the most incredible thing about this is because of the nature of how this is all lining up, all of it is lining up to finally bring an end to separation. Now, if you go back to any of the prior classes, right, and my teachings in any of the prior classes, you have heard me say every time we talked about Pluto going into Aquarius, that Aquarius energy, Aquarian energy, for those of you that might be Aquarian in nature, is about we. It's not about I, right? It's that separation. It's about we energy. It's about the good of the all energy. So all of that separation, that me, mine, my, that, well, you like this and I like that, so we cannot talk to each other, we cannot get along, right? That energy of separation is now going to be able to be healed. And you're going to see that in this next year, right? We're going to really see that in the next year. So that's something to look forward to, okay? Because there's big changes coming with that. So what's important going forward here? How do we navigate these energies? One of the ways that we do that is to become an observer. Observe what's in the reality, right? Because everybody is playing a role for us. Observe what's in the reality. Is there somebody that's showing up that you have to stand up and speak your truth to? That's important for you, right? That's important for me. That's important for everybody to be able to stand up and speak your truth. If you can't speak your truth and you're constantly in fear of what somebody else is going to be thinking about you speaking your truth, you're in judgment. So then you're judging yourself because you don't feel what you have to say has validity to it. So this is again where it's bringing us back into ourself, asking us to look at first and foremost our self-importance, our self-worth. That's going to be the theme, especially with Venus going retrograde, where it's pointing us in, right? It's pointing us inward. How can we bring ourselves into greater self-worth? All right. So in order to do that, we might need to get quiet and really listen and pay attention. So when you're outside on that walk, or you're sitting, taking in what is presenting around you, be an observer to what is. Get quiet. Be the observer. Look at what is playing out around you and see, how does this pertain to me? Is this something that I'm aligned with? Is it something that I'm not aligned with? Right? What do I need to do in order to make this feel better? What do I need to do in order to bring in more of what I desire for myself? Okay, that's very important. Okay. Because the old is no longer going to be valid for us. So, what you've always done and what you've always thought about what you've always done is going to start to feel weak now. It's going to start to feel like, well, I don't know if that makes me happy anymore. I don't know if that feels good to me anymore. I don't know if that feels soothing to me anymore, right? And it could be something as simple as, maybe you love to garden and you love to plant flowers, and then suddenly you're noticing that your love for planting flowers is not making you feel the way it used to make you feel. And then suddenly you have an idea, I'm going to plant herbs and start to grow herbs. And as you're planting herbs, you're starting to realize, yes, this is making me feel more aligned, right? So allowing ourselves to step back from what we've always done to maybe do something different is going to be very, very important going forward, because this is the shakeup. This is the wake up, right? It's asking us, because we are in endings, to let go of what is not serving anymore. Stop carrying it with you. It's like my relationship with Beth, right? That friendship. I was realizing 2 years ago when we first moved into the house in Stony Brook, we shouldn't be living together anymore. She's not doing the work. She's not staying in the work. She's somewhere else. She's far away from the work, and it's not serving me. I'm carrying the energy of this house, and it's making me feel sick. It's making me feel frustrated, right? How can I take myself out of that? Create an opportunity for movement to happen. So we have to look where we could create that opportunity for movement. So some notes here that are very, very important that I wrote out. This is a time of lots and lots of breakthroughs from the breakdowns, right? Noticing what is not working anymore, noticing what's not aligning anymore. Maybe the joy that you're not having planting flowers around the house for whatever reason is not bringing that sense of emotional contentment. And then you suddenly think like, oh, I'd love to grow herbs. Well, go do it, right? If that is something that's coming to you. It could be with anything. I'm just using that as an example. Now, I know some of you have reached out. I've also had people that are not within the community have reached out that are telling me that their sense of self feels like it's dissolving, right? Like almost like a dark night of the soul. And that would be a template wipe. There's a lot of confusion that comes with that. Why is that? Well, we're in a heavy time of Neptune, right? Remember those rose-colored glasses. Okay, Neptune can make things feel very confusing. And especially if we're going through a template wipe and we're not sure what we're supposed to do, where we're supposed to be. Sometimes it can happen with a job, right? Not feeling content with the job anymore. I don't feel like I'm supposed to be here anymore, but I don't know where I'm supposed to be. That's okay. It requires us to just step back. Be okay being at the job, being right where you are, as you allow for those energies to move through you so that you can break free from those energies in order to bring some new energy in. You're not going to be able to bring new energy in. We can't bring new energy in until we've let energy go. We just can't do that. Okay, it will overwhelm our sensory self. And then it will make us crash into a dark night of the soul. So, if we're trying to accomplish too much or we're trying to shift too much in a short period of time, don't do that. Okay. These energies are all about bringing us into deeper alignment for our highest path forward. This is our northernmost path, right? Our north node path. Showing up for us. But in order to step onto that North Node path, which is our destiny, we have to step off of that South Node path. And it might feel uncomfortable. And again, we're not going to just jump off of it, right? Because it might be one of those moving conveyor belts and we jump off of it and then we fall and we have an injury or something like that. No, we want to find an exit point. I didn't just end that situation with Beth. I couldn't find a means to do that. I was looking at houses even when I knew that it wasn't coming up, right? But there was nothing presenting for me to opt out of that dynamic. And the reason for that, which has come to me very clearly over the last couple of days, is because had I ended the relationship instead of her daughter ending the relationship, it would have allowed our relationship to continue. And our relationship was not meant to continue. This is the end of the road for this relationship, right? And it meant the end of the road for the botanical company and all of that because it was not built on a strong foundation. And as we were formulating the business plans, I kept hearing myself saying, we should not be doing this. We should not be doing this, right? And when we went to the accountant together, just before he filed the taxes, I said, I want to disband the company and just, file a final return and dissolve the corporation. And then she gave 10,000 reasons why to keep it and how it could work and how it was going to work with both of us being down here and everything. And I knew that that was not going to be the case. It was never going to be the case. And what happened after that was every other day, she was coming at me like guns blazing to create that separation. The separation, separation, separation until it could not be anymore. Okay. That's going to happen automatically. Sometimes we don't even have to do anything in order for that to happen. But it was showing how the separation is just naturally going to occur so that we don't have to be the one that's creating the separation, right? Because it's a natural progression of events, because it was not meant to be a friendship anymore. Okay. We have to honor that when something is coming to an end or there's a closure in some way, shape, or form, we have to absolutely honor it, right? And let it be what it is. And oh, that is coming to an end. I see that. I'm not going to try to drag it along. I'm not going to try to pull it kicking and screaming or let it drag me kicking and screaming. Okay. Does that make sense? And there might be something in each one of your lives where you're finding that this is the case, that something needs to just be released because it's not serving the highest good anymore. And that's okay. But we have to find that exit point. We can't just jump off the conveyor belt because we might injure ourselves. And it's not about us getting injured. It's about us seeing what is presenting in a way. And so the end result of all that transpired for me coming down here was that the relationship was not meant to be sustained. It could not be a relationship, a friendship anymore in any way, shape, or form. And everything must be dissolved and come out of the field. Does that make sense to you? So it cannot be any other way. All right. Anybody have any questions on that? Because I know we're all going through something of that. And I'm going to explain why as we get further into this talk. Okay. Because you're going to see when I talk about Venus retrograde and we talk about the time periods of it, it's going to be something for you to look at in your own life to see where your patterns are, right? Because I'm seeing it as my pattern because Venus retrograded 8 years ago. What was that pattern, right? So when we look at this and we are talking about our highest path forward and we're looking at our North Node destiny path, right? Like Joe, he's on his destiny path. The academy is where he's meant to be. He has set himself up by doing the work all of these years, allowing himself to move to Florida because he had a connection down here to get his fishing started, right? Where he was taking people out night fishing and like manatee sightseeing and bow hunting and all of that sort of stuff, and then built everything outdoors, right? And then started processing animals and everything that went along with that. Now he knows so much about the hunting that takes place down here, the poaching that takes place down here from being a processor. The game warden job is perfect for him because he has a real deep understanding and awareness to it. So he's going to excel and he's going to be amazing at that, right? So here's some really important journaling prompts, right? That you could sit down with and really think about and really allow yourself to process through. Have you stopped to take inventory lately on what you truly desire? What would make your heart sing, right? What would make it soar, right? Maybe it would be moving someplace. Maybe it would be changing jobs. Maybe it would be taking up a hobby that you have pushed off. I could tell you that I have more horses than I could ever imagine in my field right now. I sit outside sometimes and they come. Most of the time, they're not at the fence, but when I'm sitting outside, I just have to look over my shoulder and they're all standing there looking at me, right? And that's the neighbor's horses direct diagonally across. They all come to the very end where they can't go anymore beyond the fence, right? To the very end, and they sit there and they look. And I think to myself, yeah, I've got to start getting back to riding again. So I have the number for a girl that could potentially give me lessons. And then, of course, the woman that showed up with the body butter yesterday. She's an avid rider. She used to have two horses, and we were talking about riding. So that came up. And then I keep getting this random email out of nowhere I never signed up for from this riding company, this woman in England, of all places, right? Like it's some kind of horse farm in England. Never signed up for it, but somehow or another, it's finding its way to me through my support at Maria DC email address. So, have you stopped to take inventory? I know I'm looking around going like, horses are calling me. I'm gonna have to start taking riding lessons soon, right? How about taking inventory of what you no longer identify with? Okay. Oh, it was great to see you, Diana, too. Thank you for coming in. I know you're on your lunch hour. Thank you. Love you. What maybe, right? Are you no longer needing to identify with? You're still identifying with it because it's a habit, it's a pattern, it's a belief, and we haven't realized we can let go. But there's something that you're still identifying with that needs to just be resolved in some way, shape, or form. Okay. What are you ready to call in? Have you sat and thought about that? Maybe there's something that you're ready to call in, right? For me, I'm ready to do art. I am ready. I'm getting set up. I'm almost there. My art supplies are almost in their new home, and I'm getting ready for that. I'm getting ready to get myself ready to ride. I could feel it coming. The horses are manifesting. What are you getting ready to call in? What do you need to call in that would change something about the way you feel? Right? Something that would maybe bring more joy to your heart. Okay? If we think about how we're operating on a day-to-day basis, we're all operating from our human heart. But now we want to operate from the cosmic heart, right? It's that heart that we feel in the middle of the night that beats right in the center of our chest. It's the etheric heart that's cosmically connected to everything, right? We could sit and say, I am the tree. I am the computer. I am every one of you. You are all me, right? You are the tree outside your house. We're connected to everything. Everything is one. That's the cosmic part of ourselves, right? The cosmic heart. So, with that interconnectedness, we are connected to everything. And if we're connected to everything in that cosmic alignment, and again, this goes back to Aquarius, then if we're connected to everything and we're operating that connection, that connectedness through the cosmic heart, then we're in love with everything. We're in love with each other. We're in love with the cosmos. We're in love with the planet. We're in love with the solar system, with the stars. We're even in love with Neptune when it makes things foggy. Okay. So, how are we allowing ourselves to be led through life, right? Are we focusing more on dysfunction, or are we focusing on the amplification of the interconnectedness with the all? And this is something that's going to take practice, right? Even for myself. I find that every day I have to deepen my practice surrounding it. Okay. Where can we move out, move away from our patterns, habits, and limitations? Where do we limit ourselves with our beliefs, maybe ideologies that we have, maybe some dharma, right? Like what we see others doing, or how, we're interacting with regard to our interplay with others. How do we need to move beyond that? How do we need to create through that so that we're not limiting ourselves, that we're creating from the vastness of the all that is? Can we let go of the focus on the things that we don't think that we have, or that we don't think that we have enough of? And allow ourselves to understand that we are enough, and we have more than enough of whatever that is, right? Because anything else, if we're focused on the idea of there not being enough money, enough food, enough time for joy, or anything like that, we're actually creating resistance in the field, and then we'll never have what we desire to have because we have that false reality of resistance in the field. But if we let go of the perceptions that we hold ourselves to and the limiting beliefs, then we can look around us and see that it's just a false reality that we've created to think that we don't have enough, or that people are not going to like us, or not going to like our product, our art, our words, our method of communication, how we look, right? I mean, that is a perception. So if we can shift that, and we start by taking one thing, we take one thing and we say, every word that comes out of my mouth is said with the essence of love. So I cannot speak any negativity anywhere I go. And everything that I say is always going to be in flow and well received. Then we're always in harmony wherever we go and what we're speaking into our reality. Right? It's up to us to create where we want to be in flow. This morning, I had to go to the post office. And I've been there a couple of times now. And there's this one guy. It's kind of big, reminds me of my brother. Kind of looks like my brother, except a little more hillbilly like, redneck like, I guess you could say. And I saw him coming from the back when I stepped in. I was the only one in there. He kind of was like, oh, I got a customer, that type of thing. So as he was coming in, I was assessing his, I don't know if you can hear lasagna, he's sleeping on the floor beneath me, and he's doing little woofs, it's so funny. And he was coming to the front to help me with a bit of a grumpy attitude, and I was like, I'm just gonna stay my grace. I'm gonna amplify him with codes, and I'm gonna, give him a little sprinkle of fairy dust and whatever else I have to give him. And he came up and he was like, oh, what can I help you with today? And I was like, how are you? And he was like, I'm all right. You know, like he wasn't expecting that. And I was like, that's great. I'm so happy to hear that. And he's just looking at me like, weirdo, like, who are you? Right. And, but I was not going to let him stay in his funkiness, you know? So then I said to him after I got the package in the mail, he said, anything else? I said, yes. I said, do you have any small P.O. boxes I could rent? And he's like, we always have small P.O. boxes for rent. And I was like, well, that's good to know. I was like, do you have a form I could fill out? And he's like, as a matter of fact, I do. And then his whole mood and his attitude changed, right? Just because I had a different attitude when I was connecting with him. And I saw him change in that moment, right? We don't let people pull us into their reality. We're going to pull them into our reality and create a better opportunity or experience for them. Okay. And always look to the opportunity to amplify somebody else's state of being that may not know how to do that for themselves. Right. So instead of going into a store and assuming that the attitude the person has, the clerk has, is one that's divisive because maybe they don't like you for some reason. They're not being nice. They don't like you. Think about, well, maybe they got bad news at home or something happened or, you know, their spouse got laid off or their child got injured or something else. And just flip it around and make it like, how can I make their day a better day? Right? But that's going to amplify your state of being. And that's going to bring you closer to your North Node because you're in more vibrational alignment with your cosmic heart. Because it's not about the one, it's not about me, right? It's about the we, it's about all of us. And so that's one of the ways that we can do that. Okay. What do you still need to learn to love? And that's a big one because that question ties us to karma. Right? Before I came here, I was explaining to Joe, when I get into your house, when I get to your house, there has to be mutual respect between us. I know I'm coming in to respect you. I'm coming in with love. I'm coming in with compassion. Right? I'm going to clean your house. I'm going to take care of it. I said, if you're stuck in a crunch for time, I have no problem making a meal. I'm going to feed lasagna. I'm going to take care of whatever needs to take care of the chickens, the peacocks, whatever needs to be done. But there has to be mutual respect. You know, in other words, you're going to have to find that respect and love for me too. Right? And that was something that I was really clear about coming in here because I want to come from a place of love and respect for everything and everybody because I know if I'm not doing that, I'm creating karma. Beth could not help herself before we left the house and created a lot of karma. Right. And I was watching this going like, why? Why do we need to keep, why would you be mad at me that I packed my rebounder? Because we're moving. We're moving. It wasn't a slight at you. But when I saw that she took it very personal and she's like, well, I use it every day. And I'm like, yes, but we're about to move. And I'm trying to find a way to pack it so that I can bring it with me when I move. And then when I went into my cosmic heart and I realized, I was like, there's a wound there that's deeper than what I can offer in any of this. I'm actually going to give it to her. I'll give her the rebound if she can have it, right? And at first, she couldn't be a receiver to it, but I was very insistent. I was like, no, you need to have this. You need, well, my daughter has one. Yeah. And now you have one. And you don't have to ask her to use hers and you have one, right? Because for me, it was a non-issue. It was about the giving of it, right? It was about the relief I could provide for whatever tension or frustration was being felt. It was not going to be me creating karma. I'm done. I want to be done, right? But clearly, there was karma on that side because there was a lack of awareness. There was a lack of understanding. There was a lack of compassion. There was a lack of operating from the cosmic heart. And when we are not operating from that space within us that is allowing us to be in our highest vibrational state, our highest alignment with the truth of our loving nature of who we are, we're going to create karma if we are not there. Okay? So be really clear with intentions and actions moving forward, right? We want to come from a place of high vibrational everything, especially love. Love and compassion when somebody is just doing their best, they can't do any better. Like the guy in the post office or Beth, right? And we just want them to have a moment of ease and grace, right? And that's vibrational alignment. So be clear with how you're creating so that you're not creating karma, because that's very important right now. We want to make sure that we're not creating any kind of karma. Okay. My next question is, what does your heart want to open to? Right? Where are there areas within your life that you are denying yourself the experience of love, the experience of joy? Are you someone that's always a giver, or can you allow yourself to be a receiver too? That's a hard one, especially for those of us that are always in service, right? Is that a possibility? So this is another area that's important to work in. We have to make sure that we're in balance. Remember in the beginning of the talk, I talked about the fact that we are on the equinox right now, and we are in a time. Today is the 20th. It's a two vibration. Two is balance and harmony, right? Creating balance and harmony on the pathways that through which we're walking. Tomorrow, Kali Yuga cycle ends. Letting go of the idea of disharmony, letting go of the idea of the repression, the oppression, the resistance, the contention, right? Letting go of all of that and just coming into the place of love. Because all of that was very karmic in nature, and we don't have to play in that anymore. So, very, very big action steps right now, right? These are very, very big action steps that we're in the process of. As our reality takes us deeper, as these energies build and pull us deeper into deeper cycles, we're going to find our priorities shift. And as our priorities shift, it's going to make for opportunities for revelations through aha moments, right? I know I'm having them myself. I'm sure you are having yours, whether you recognize it as an aha moment or not. Okay. So it's very important for us to really participate in this and be present for what is transpiring, be present for ourselves so that we're letting go. We're shedding the old from the field that is no longer in vibrational alignment. That's Bella coming in. That is no longer in vibrational alignment, that we can create these higher aligned pathways and opportunities for deeper growth for where we're heading. That's the exciting part, because we're only touching the tip of the iceberg right now. Hang on one second. I just have to. So we're in this very, very intense transitional state. Okay. And it's very important. We don't have to know exactly specifically the energies. We do talk about them in this community because, of course, I'm aware of them. So I want to bring them in and show you why things are happening that you might be feeling, and what's creating this change, this push, this feeling that is sourcing through you. Because it's important for us to understand, have an understanding. I mean, it really, not that we want to live our lives through astrology, but the way the planets are moving creates greater vibrational alignment when we can be in the flow of what is, as opposed to trying to make something happen, right? And I'm seeing that greater because of the fact that I can spend a little more time within myself instead of worrying about, I've got to get through all my sessions today and then this and make sure I make something for dinner, right? Because that was another part of a job. Whereas now I don't have to do that, and I can actually take a minute and say, like, I'm only making dinner for me. What does that feel like? What does that look like? What is, if I wanted to have like papaya, blueberries, banana, and some honey on it, that's going to be my dinner, right? And I don't have to think, is the other person that's living here going to like it or not? Because it doesn't factor in, because at the end of the day, it's simply me. Okay. So these are new revelations. These are new opportunities for self-growth, and we're all having them in different ways, right? In whatever way is aligning for you. Okay. Some of you are having it through your business. Some of it are having it through your family dynamics. We're all having it in different ways. Now, if you go back to what I said in the beginning about Venus retrograde, Venus is going to be retrograde until it goes direct on April 12th. So 40 days, 40 nights of the retrograde. We started it on March 2nd. And here's the interesting thing, and I'm going to share my observation of it. And this was my own little aha to a revelation, going like, oh man, my mind is blown, because I did not see that before. And maybe it's because I'm looking at Venus retrograde in a new way, right? In a brand new way. And I can see it more clearly for myself, so that 8 years from now, I could be like, okay, did I get it? Like, did I master it? Did I come into my alignment of it? Now, Venus echoes itself, and from my understanding, it only goes into certain signs once every 8 years. I think it visits like Aries, Gemini, I want to say Capricorn, and I can't remember what the other one is. But every 8 years, it goes into one of the signs, right? And right now, it's retrograde in Aries. And so if we look back, and I'm going to give you the dates, and you could sit and you could do this for yourself, because I did this for myself. And you look back 8 years from 2025, that would be 2017. So look at 2017 and see what event might have happened in your life in 2017, right? 2017. What event might have happened in your life that might have been significant? Maybe it was just a light significance, right? And then go back 8 years back from that, would have been 2009. Remember anything from 2009? And then 8 years back from that would have been 2001. Right? So I'll go first. So 2001, I just cleared my marriage in 2000 and cleared my first bout of cancer in 2001. So by the time I was in 2001, I was done with a marriage, I was done with a relationship, and I was done with a health issue. I was done with cancer, right? 8 years later, Venus retrogrades again, 2009. The year before, 2008, I ended my corporate job. So that's like ending a relationship. And my marriage was starting to fall apart. That was 2009. 2017, 8 years later. Oh, and during that 8 year cycle, I had the other bout with cancer, but that's now, I could see, for me, it's not about health issues. It's about relationships. Okay. So my karmic cycle, I know, buddy, my karmic cycle is to look at this face. I can't stand it. I can't. Can you? Whoop, I only can. Can you see? Look at this face. Look at this. You gotta look into the camera. Oh, it's the baby. He's so cute. Okay, you can't come up here right now. You got to wait. So for me, it's because he always wants to be up on top of me. He's a big dog, right? He's like a mini pony. So for me, it's always a cycle of relationships. So look, I end my corporate job in 2008, but in 2009, my marriage starts to fall apart. 8 years later, in 2017, I finally healed the cyst, that Bartholin cyst that I carried around in the same place I had the cancer back in 2001 that I managed to get through and heal. And then my divorce becomes final. So there's another relationship ending. Okay. And then in 2025, what major event just happened? Friendship ended, right? A major friendship ended. Somebody that I've shared a house with for 7 or 8 years of my life. So there's another relationship ending. So my karma, my karmic cycle is relationships. And the plus side of the karmic cycle with the relationships is what I gain from the insight of what I've experienced. Now, I wouldn't know that. I wouldn't know that. I've known my karmic lessons come through relationships. I've known that for like 30 years, probably, because I went to an astrologer many, many, many years ago, probably 30 years ago, this guy. And he said to me, your relationships with, especially with men, and in relationship with them, is how you learn about yourself. It's not about the relationship with that person as much as it is about what you gain from the experience of being in that relationship and the insight that you get from it. So I've known that for a very long time. It's profoundly powerful when you have that insight. But again, like picking the relationship with Pete and then getting married, was my last husband. I could see it now. I couldn't see it while I was in it, right? We can't always see it while we're in it, which is why we have to practice this greater level of clarity. I couldn't see it while I was in it. But if I had taken the step back from it, I probably would have just been like, I'm going to pass. And I did try to do that and say, I'm going to take a pass. But my friend at the time, whose son worked for Pete, knew him very well, was pushing me to date him, pushing me to go there. And like I could feel it just wasn't lining up. And then all of a sudden it did. But it was like, was it lining up because I was standing in my karma? And I wasn't standing in my clarity. You see what I'm saying? So even though I knew that it really shouldn't have been, I was listening to somebody else telling me, well, he's so busy, he owns a business, it's this, it's that, blah, 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 blah. And then, living in the facade of it, not seeing the truth of it, right? Whereas now I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. So in Venus retrograde, a part of us must die so we can be reborn. I could look at that and say that is absolutely true because as I was preparing and going through this move, we were entering Venus retrograde on March 2nd. I moved on February 24th as we were heading into Venus retrograde and literally came into here, full-blown flu upgrade, right? That part of myself that needed to just surrender and just be. And then all of a sudden, there is a rebirthing, being reborn through the cycle of the death cycle and seeing so much more. That's why this work is so powerful, because when we're really practicing it and we're really seeing it and we're really vested in it, we can do a better job navigating the reality. But when we're not paying attention to it, that's when we can, get off that beaten path or jump off the conveyor belt too fast, and then we have an accident and hurt ourselves, right? Because we're not paying attention. Excuse me. So some questions that I thought would be worth journaling, some journal prompts here if you want to explore some of this. And I think you should all explore those key dates and see what your cycles of karma might be as you look back and see what was taking place. Now, does it mean everybody's going to have this during a Venus retrograde? No, it doesn't. But I have an Aries moon and my Chiron. My wounding is in Pisces. So there's the Aries and there's the Pisces. Okay. So it doesn't necessarily mean everybody is going to have this, but we are in those North Node elements right now, the lunar nodes right now. So, this is a time for deeper reflection to see. We're playing out Pisces and Virgo as the lunar nodes. Okay, so it's all about the wounding and then bringing ourselves back into a complete state within ourselves, right? That would be the Virgo. The wounding is in the Pisces. And then, of course, Aries playing with Venus in this retrograde cycle, that's making us look at ourselves to see if we can see where our karma might be. And then work through whatever is presenting and coming up. So I know now I will not be creating that kind of karma again, on any level with relationships. I'm done. Like that is coming to an end, right? But these journal prompts, I felt like they would be something good to explore if you wanted to do some journaling and just go a little bit deeper. So one question is, where are you feeling unworthy or not enough, right? Where within your life might, it could be with a family member that that's coming up where somebody is just not wanting to understand our perspective. Could be on a client level, or it could be you feeling that way about yourself with your business, or somebody that you're interacting with on a day-to-day level, or a child, right? A spouse, or it could be anything. But where might you be feeling unworthy or like you are not enough? Okay. Where have you been told that you're too emotional or perhaps you're too intense? That's also a really important one, right? Sometimes we can be very passionate about something and be emotionally charged to it. And then somebody thinks that we're too emotional in general and maybe a little too intense about our viewpoints of something, right? When I was young, I was very, very passionate about horses and riding. My mother used to yell at me all the time and say, "You're too emotional. You get too emotional about horses. You have to stop doing that," right? And it would really make me uncomfortable to hear that and think like I needed to refocus myself or redirect myself because it made her uncomfortable that I could find such deep passion about something, right? Where maybe she couldn't find her passion about something. Another question. Can you draw a line in the sand if needed? Can we say no? Right? Sometimes we can't say no. We feel like we're obligated and we feel like we can't say no to something. So can you do that? Where can you find your no? Can you be non-negotiable? Right? Sometimes that's hard to be non-negotiable, right? Where we have to stand in our truth. And we're not gonna lessen ourselves or lower ourselves to make another feel satisfied or complete within themselves, right? These are really important questions because we're going to see areas where we might do that. And we certainly don't want to do that because it's all about the soul's journey now from the highest perspective, right? Next question. Where do you need to expose yourself and shine your light? Where don't you shine your light? Because you might not be understood, or you might make another feel insecure, or somebody might think you're too much, right? Your light is too much, your light is too bright. Where might you not be standing in your fullness and less and creating an opportunity for you to lessen yourself? That's a big one, right? Where are you dimming that light for somebody else? And the last question, how can you be more unapologetically you? How can you be more of you, right? Maybe you don't want to have an interaction with someone and you just can't say no, right? Maybe practice saying no. Maybe be like, I can't talk to you right now. Or I can't talk to you at all because every time I talk to you, I leave and I don't feel good because you're in such a place of victimhood and I'm no longer entertaining victimhood in my reality. right? I had that interaction yesterday with somebody that was asking me questions about their friend who has breast cancer, and from the perspective of herbal medicine and whatnot. I gave a few of my highest level thoughts and really told them the truth that, I mean, that in order for their friend to heal, it has to become 99% emotional involvement towards feeling better and healing themselves, as opposed to 99% in involvement in being a victim, because that's getting them a lot of attention. And sometimes that's hard for people to hear. But it's a matter of, like, am I gonna, squeeze myself through the ringer and pour out all of my knowledge and all of my goodness? And then at the end of the day, it's going to fall on deaf ears. I don't need to be that kind of superstar, right? I don't need to show somebody how knowledgeable I am if that person is not going to be a receiver. So this is where we don't sacrifice ourselves anymore, right? Can we bring ourselves into the next highest state of being without sacrificing ourselves, without, dumbing ourselves down or downgrading ourselves? And I told him, I'm like, listen, at the end of the day, I get paid to do this. This is what I get paid to do. And I do the job really, really well. I have a great success rate with helping people with cancer. If you're friend is really serious about healing the breast cancer that she has, you can give her my number, my information, give her my website, tell her to book a session, and we'll have a go at it and see where she is, right? But I don't feel like I have to pour out all my knowledge for somebody that I'm not certain is going to be a receiver to it. And that is the difference in being in vibrational alignment or not. I'm honoring my soul. I'm honoring who I am. I'm honoring the skill level that I have. And that's what we have to do, right? That's what the soul is wanting. The soul is requiring that we honor ourselves. Does that make sense to everybody? This is really very important to understand, right? We're not, dimming our light for anybody. We're shining our light brightly. We're looking to see where we've created karma in the past. We're intentional about not creating karma going forward. Not allowing ourselves to participate in a way that is going to lower our self-esteem, our self-worth, right? So it's very important for us to be present and be aware. And these energies that we are in are super huge. And one of the things that I really want to impart here to you, one of the biggest things, one of the biggest takeaways that you could have is that at the end of the day, the outer reality has no bearing on us whatsoever. It is not a factor in our life experience at all unless we allow it to be. Okay? Because it is going to collapse. It has to collapse. It has to shift in whatever way that is. And the only part of that that we have to acknowledge is the fact that something's got to change, because it can't remain the same. The energies are just too high. They're too fast. They're moving extremely fast right now. And it's requiring us to really stay in a supercharged state of presence. That's the most important thing that we could do. So at the end of the day, in order for us to create our highest, best reality, it's going to require that we look within, that we stay present and create from the realm that we are operating in. If I want to create magic for myself, I've got to create it right here, right where I am focused, and not focus or think I've got to create it out there. Right? And that's with anything. It doesn't matter what it is. It's allowing yourself to experience the goodness of whatever's presenting around you without needing to knock yourself out doing it, because you know that at the end of the day, all that needs to happen is you stay in vibrational alignment and let go of the creation of karma. Does that make sense? It's that simple, believe it or not, right? It's that easy for us to do. So I think we're going to end it here. Does anybody have any questions or anything that you need help with or anything? I know that you're all becoming pros at navigating this karma stuff and all these crazy energies that we're playing in and the chaos that you see out in the reality when you go into the grocery store and people are at odds with themselves, right? All right. If we don't have any questions, stay the course. Be the best you that you can be going forward. Remember, we're done with karma. The most important thing is don't create any more, right? We come from a place of integrity, respect, authenticity. Authenticity is a premium now. We don't want to be anybody else. We want to be our authentic self. We want to operate from the perspective of the cosmic heart, which means that we have love for everybody, no matter how they show up, because they might not be able to do any better. And remember, sometimes it could be an angelic representation showing up as a grumpy postal guy in order to challenge me or you to see, are we going to still come from that place of love or not, right? We set up these challenges for ourselves all the time. That's the magic of having this human experience, because we just never know. And we want to come from that higher place within us all the time. Okay? So do the exercise with the dates for the Venus retrograde, because that's kind of fun to take a look at. You might see a pattern for yourself, you might not, but you might. It might be fun to do. And definitely do those journaling prompts, because believe me, I feel like I am in a time of self-discovery, and I've done a whole ton of work on myself. I've done work on myself for years and years and years, especially when I was dealing with the cyst. And I remember from 2013 all the way to 2017 when I finally healed it, it was like nonstop searching for the answers and vibrational alignment and surrender, right? And surrender is always key. Surrender takes us right into the highest states of alignment that we could imagine ourselves in. So when you can't figure it out, surrender, because the answer will come through surrender. And trust that process. All right. All right, guys. So we're going to end it here. Know that I love you so very much. Thank you all for joining today. Really appreciate your energy being lent to this gathering and our connection together. All right. So our next gathering, let's see when the date on that is. It'll be next Wednesday, the 26th at our 7 p.m. time. All right. So I love you guys. Have a wonderful whatever it is that you're doing. I look forward to seeing you again soon. Take care. Bye-bye.